You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast,
featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Holy smokes, do we have some gambling action in store for you. Welcome back to the Bet Slippin' Podcast presented by SportsbookWire.com. I'm a co-host here, SportsbookWire handicapper and producer Jeff Clark. And, of course, I got with me, joined via Zoom, the homie, the gambling consigliere, my brother Eston McLaren. How we doing, Eston?
Hey, Jeff, we're doing well. It was a good week 15 in the NFL. I went 2-0-1 in my head-to-head competition with you. I hit on the Miami Dolphins -2.5 and Cleveland Browns -6.5. So those help pad the bankroll for the beginning of the NBA season, which I know you are excited for.
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited for it, considering how my NFL season's boiling down. I might be one of the sorest people from the NFL that isn't playing the game. I just took a roasting last week, but I'm going to put it all back together, and I feel good about this week, this slate, which is a little bit limited because of all the injury stuff, and there's some, a lesser slate here on the BetMGM board, which, again, we got a shout-out. BetMGM provides all of our odds in line, so all of our listeners in Nevada, New Jersey, Indiana, West Virginia, Colorado, Tennessee, and now Pennsylvania, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now Pennsylvania.
Keeps on rolling out.
Yep, everyone in those states, be sure to check out BetMGM if you're trying to get down some action on future games. And there's a lot on the board, right? We got college football bowl season. The NBA season's about to tip off here. We're recording Tuesday on December 22nd. It's the opening day of the NBA. Two games with the Golden State Warriors playing the Brooklyn Nets, and then the Battle of LA with the Clippers and the Lakers. So there's a lot going on, and we got a lot to cover. Holy crap, did I just say a lot of words? You're still with me, Eston, right?
It's still here, and listeners are as well, because they don't want to miss this episode. Yeah, we had a lot. NBA starting up. We'll break down the Christmas Day slate coming up later in the show. And hey, for the first time in a while, Bet Slippin' Podcast, scoping futures.
Absolutely. We're dusting off the old scoping futures segment. We got some NBA quasi-preview primer stuff to do. We weren't able to go fully in-depth as much as we'd like to, for the various reasons. There was a little bit of a slow rollout when it came to the odds. There was also, frankly and candidly, it did sneak up on me given all this sports stuff and the holiday season. But we do have some bets and some takes and some things that we want to put on the record as the NBA season starts today. So I don't think we should wait any further. How about you? Do you have any, I guess, opening thoughts before we jump into this, or can we go to scope and futures?
Opening thoughts is I'm ready to make some money.
All right, cool. Scope and futures, here we come.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, Scope and Futures.
So again, in lieu of doing an NBA primer, we're just going to go through some of the awards, the NBA MVP, Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year. We're going to give our Western Conference and Eastern Conference winners and our NBA Finals winners. I also have a few team specials that I like to bet, and I'm also just going to wrap it up with my best bet of the NBA futures and kind of, I guess, a little bit of my logic on playing futures, especially in the NBA, but really works for any sport. So let's start off with the NBA MVP race or odds. Where are you leaning, or where are you going to put your NBA MVP action today, Eston?
Yeah, so I wrote a piece for SportsbookWire.com this week, NBA MVP futures, wrote quite a few, you and I both. But MVP, I all my futures bets, I like to look in three different tiers. I kind of have my favorites, my contenders, and then sleepers or long shots, what have you. So MVP or the favorites range, I tend to look at, I don't know, let's say plus 100, I guess, to anywhere under plus 2,000. Right there, Kevin Durant for me, plus 1,200. He and Steph Curry are very similarly priced. I believe Curry's plus 1,100. Both of them, obviously, returning from injury, both previous winners and both superstars in the league, right, who everyone loves to watch. A little bit better value with Durant. And you know what? The Brooklyn Nets signed him, 2 years ago now, knowing that he was going to miss that whole first year. They're ready to be led by Durant into Eastern Conference title contention, if not NBA title contention. So I love Durant there, plus 1,200. All eyes are going to be on Brooklyn and a lot of eyes on him. And, you know, he's going to have to try to rein in Kyrie Irving. So hopefully he can do that. And, you know, he's going to have to take on more of a distribution leadership role than he had certainly in Golden State, and possibly more so than he had with the Oklahoma City Thunder as well. So I think we see a very different and new Kevin Durant, and plus 1,200 is good value to me.
I agree with the value on Kevin Durant. Did you pay attention to how these odds moved throughout the preseason? Like, I hope Durant got more expensive as the preseason moved along, because he's looked great so far.
Yeah, I slacked, admittedly, in my NBA MVP future monitoring, at least compared to what I usually do with NFL, NHL, golf, whatever.
Hey, you and me both, brother.
Slipped in the NBA, and yeah, you mentioned at the top, the season really caught up to us. But yeah, I think it'd be very surprising if this isn't a drop in price on Durant, but plus 1,200, you're not going to complain about that, and it's still plenty profitable.
Yeah, I just think it's weird how good that price is, actually. You know, he's the sixth favorite here on the board. Luka's number one at plus 400. Giannis to, I think, three-peat at MVP, plus 500. LeBron plus 800. Anthony Davis plus 900. Steph Curry plus 1,100. And Kevin Durant, number six at plus 1,200. And, you know, his game is better suited to overcome, like, injuries, because I mean, he's just so smooth offensively. So I don't hate that pick at all. My pick for NBA MVP is, I'm going more of a long shot, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that long shot theory later with my best bet, because spoiler, this is my best bet because I love betting long shot futures. But I'm going Jason Tatum at plus 2,500. I don't think you ever heard this theory from me, but we didn't start this podcast before last basketball season, but I would have given you a theory that I call the four-year pop theory. This is trademarked. This is Jeff Clark specific, so no one else could take this. But I've found a trend in NBA players where some of them, you know, you got the LeBrons, the KDs, that as soon as they hit the court the rookie year, they just pop. You see it. You see immediately their greatness. But there are other players that take a little while, even coming in with some hype, that need to mature before their game is ready to pop in the NBA. And it usually, for some players, I've seen it happen around year four. Examples would be Steph Curry, James Harden. I had Brandon Ingram to win Most Improved Player of the Year last year, I swear to God. And I hit over Brandon Ingram 14.5 points per game last year, which was the easy, like, it was over by December. You knew he was clearing that. And this year, my pop player is going to be Jason Tatum. Now, you might think, I mean, that's not a hot take. Jason Tatum, he was an all-star for the first time last year, so technically that's a pop season for him. And he's already played against LeBron James in the Eastern Conference Finals. He's been in the playoffs three straight years as a rookie, as a pro, and since his rookie season. So how could this be a pop year? Well, he averaged only 23 points per game last year. And he improved in three-point shooting from year over year. He had a bit of a sophomore slump, still kept his field goal percentage at 45. And I think he's going to get up to 28 points per game, around 7 rebounds, going to keep that same rate as last year, and maybe go to 4.5 assists. I think a key here is that I don't think Boston is going to slide in the standings at all. I actually think they could be a second or first seed. Also, Kemba Walker is injured for at least the first month, they're projecting. So Jason Tatum's going to have to pick up the scoring slack, and that's something that he's, I would think, looking forward to doing. He's apt to do. And also, you got the exit of Gordon Hayward. He got signed by the Hornets. So all this opportunity is going to be given to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I think Jaylen Brown could win Most Improved Player, which is not a market we're handicapping for, but I love Jason Tatum at plus 2,500. Do you have any thoughts, or do you want to move on to the next award?
Yeah, no, that's a great value. A lot of people love Jason Tatum, and a lot of that's because he plays in Boston. So another guy all eyes are going to be on. I have a couple more long shots I want to touch on here quickly. Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks, plus 8,000, and Pascal Siakam of the Toronto Raptors at plus 10,000. For Young, you know, Atlanta Hawks have been bad for a long time. They made a lot of offseason moves this year. On paper, they're a much improved roster. If they get into, you know, not just 8-seed contention, but, you know, in that upper half of the Eastern Conference bracket at least, then I think Trae Young gets a lot of credit there and, you know, kind of benefits from the work that the newcomers do. Obviously, he's still the most talented player on that team. So I think Trae Young can benefit from the Atlanta Hawks just not being as bad as they have been for his career so far. And then Siakam, plus 10,000 is crazy to me. This is Raptors team. They lost Kawhi Leonard. They were still good. They lost Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol this offseason. Obviously, significantly lesser departures. Siakam, you know, he just keeps on getting better each and every year. He struggled in the NBA bubble last year. He admitted that many, many times. But before the season was put on pause, he, you know, he should have been in MVP contention last year without Kawhi Leonard. Pascal Siakam keeps getting him better. And if the Toronto Raptors stay in those top 2-3 teams in the Eastern Conference, I think he should deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, I don't have much to add to the whole Pascal Siakam future, but the Trae Young one, your path to victory on that one is somewhat realistic, and really what you're looking for is Trae Young to average about 30 points a game, which isn't a huge step from last year, be second or third in assists per game, continue to get that same buzz he's been getting, and for the Hawks to be about a 4 or 5 seed. I think if they're to make that kind of jump, he's going to be in the conversation. At least you're looking at a pretty sweet ticket there. So I don't hate that logic at all. You want to do Rookie of the Year now?
Right.
Oh, my bad. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Just lastly, it's the same logic I'm kind of taking with Durant and even Steph Curry at plus 1,100 for MVP. Like, we have Luka Doncic here at plus 400 as the favorite. Yeah, the Mavericks can improve, certainly. But Giannis at plus 500, LeBron James at 800, Anthony Davis at 900. You know, like, those guys, their teams can't get any better, right? So to me, it's going back to truly most valuable player. And obviously, those are three of the best players in the game. But, you know, their teams can't do anything that we haven't seen before, at least in the regular season.
Right. Okay. Rookie of the Year. Let's move over there. The favorites are, hold on real quick, let me pull up my little Rookie of the Year price sheet. The favorites are LaMelo Ball at plus 400, James Wiseman, who's going to be making his NBA debut tonight for the Golden State Warriors at plus 450. The number one pick overall, Minnesota Timberwolves' Anthony Edwards is tied with James Wiseman at plus 450. The New York Knicks' Obi Toppin's plus 650, Killian Hayes plus 800. I'm just going five deep because the six is going to be my pick, and I don't want to spoil it. Who do you got for Rookie of the Year?
I'm sticking with the favorites here. I think I'm a little bit. I'm not going to bet it hard anyway, but, you know, LaMelo Ball plus 400, James Wiseman plus 450. To me, this year, especially with last college season, you know, kind of cut off unpredictably as a result of the pandemic, you know, a lot of these guys, not a whole lot of people know much about. So I think the average voter is probably just going to be more tuned in to the guys they know. That's LaMelo Ball. That's James Wiseman. And, you know, Wiseman, especially to me, on a Golden State Warriors team that's expected to be very, very good and playing a significant role there, especially if this Draymond Green injury lingers into the first few weeks of the season. James Wiseman can get off to a hot start, I think he gets a lot of attention, and rightfully so.
Oh, if Draymond Green gets back in the lineup, the Draymond Green alley-oops to James Wiseman are going to be awesome. You mix in the Steph Curry bombs away approach, that team could be fun. And I don't hate the James Wiseman for Rookie of the Year bet at all. I am chasing value here if I'm going to bet a future. And candidly, I'm not betting that many futures. Again, I am going to circle back to my best bet. But for my Rookie of the Year, I'm going to go Denny Avdija. Hopefully I spelled that or pronounced that right. He's the Israeli small forward who's projected to start for the Washington Wizards. I'm higher on the Washington Wizards than most people this year. I'm a big Russell Westbrook fan. I do have some logic behind that. We'll talk about that in a sec. But, you know, a big part of possible Rookie of the Year shopping or future betting, in my opinion, is opportunity. And a lot of these guys, even Obi Toppin, who's playing for the lowly Knicks, isn't projected to start. Tyrese Halliburton's another name who I really like, but he's not even projected to start, and he's slated behind Buddy Hield in the depth chart, so it might be kind of difficult for him to get early run. Denny Avdija is going to get a starting time immediately, and you would think how teams are planning on defending the Washington Wizards with Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook. I mean, they're going to get a bulk of the attention from opposing defenses. Also, Washington scores some points. If you remember, they played a couple games that I think were the total cleared 300. So they get buckets out there. I think Russell Westbrook's going to get out is going to help that. Also, players, like especially spot-up shooters, have great seasons with Russell Westbrook typically. You say he's bad at closing games down the stretch. I'm not going to argue with that, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about getting Denny Avdija. Man, I hope I didn't mispronounce that three times. We're talking about getting him the ball wide open in spots where he could get to 15, 16, 17 points per game, and I think that's definitely definitely within the realm of possibility. Again, plus 1400 though, big thing. I'm willing to just power through and go right to Coach of the Year, unless you have any thoughts on my Rookie of the Year pick. I'm sure you have a whole bunch of Denny Avdija takes.
Yeah, some real strong takes, but you know, just save out of pure chance, you nailed each and every one of them. So I'm no need to repeat them. But,
cool.
Yeah. Ditto.
Great. So moving on to Coach of the Year, which is going to be the final regular season award we take on or we handicap. Defensive Player of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year really isn't that sexy. We could have done Scoring Champion, but again, we're going to go with a leaner NBA primer here. But Coach of the Year, the favorites are Steve Nash, the new coach over at the Brooklyn Nets. Monty Williams, plus 900. Is that who that is? Monty Williams from he's the Phoenix Suns guy, right?
Yeah, I
believe so. Oh, terrible prep, Jeff Clark. Rick Carlisle's plus 1,000. Eric Spoelstra, plus 1,400. Brad Stevens plus 1,400. Frank Vogel plus 1,400 as well. And Ty Lue plus 1,400. We'll stop there. Who do you got on your little future slip?
So again, following my general strategy for all futures, favorite Doc Rivers plus 1,000. We know he's a good coach. He's been a good coach for a long time and has been for a couple of teams at least. And you know what? The thing is with him is he just kind of gets old on players, I guess. And now he's head coach of Philadelphia 76ers. We know they're a very talented roster. They've also struggled to, get things actually done and come together and win meaningful games. So I think Doc Rivers, his first year there, if he can get the 76ers, a very talented team, to reach what's expected to be their true potential, then I think Doc Rivers gets a lot of credit there. Some value at plus 1,000, excuse me. And then my favorite long shot, actually my favorite pick of these two, Toronto Raptors head coach plus 4,000. And a lot of the same logic I talked about with Pascal Siakam for MVP applies right here as well. You know what? The Toronto Raptors are still a good team. And plus 4,000 for Nick Nurse, who should have won Coach of the Year last year, is ridiculous. Like the way the Toronto Raptors were playing heading into what was going to be the originally scheduled playoffs before the season was put on pause, without Kawhi Leonard, they were a better team. And that's fully on Nick Nurse. This guy is an incredible coach, has been since day one as head coach of the Raptors. Plus 4,000, absolutely hammer that on Nick Nurse.
Also, and, you know what? Real quick, guys, just to clear up something that you might have been, people could confuse with you. Nick Nurse technically did win Coach of the Year last year. You said he should have, and he did. So just backing you up.
My apologies then. Yeah. Just thinking back, the odds got pulled at a lot of sports books. But yeah, Nick Nurse, kudos and well deserved.
I had a ticket ripped up.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. Yeah. Right. So that makes my point even stronger then. You get the defending coach of the year at plus 4,000. Come on. Let's do this. BetMGM bugging.
Yeah, well, right now we're scoping futures, but we can talk about the coach of the year and BetMGM bugging too. I don't hate that, though. They are bugging in the future market, I think, as well. I'm going chalk here, Esten. I'm going Steve Nash plus 900. I think it's going to work. I do. As much as the Kyrie Irving thing and some of the stuff that he says is frustrating, especially because he's so brilliant as a basketball player, I think that's all just like whatever. It's going to be pushed aside. They're all going to, I guess, I was going to say fall in line, but that's not the right way to put it. They're going to congeal and they're going to be a solid team. I also like Mike D'Antoni as a de facto offensive coordinator. That dude is the point guard whisperer. Like Kyrie Irving, I fully anticipate will be playing his best basketball as a point guard in his entire career. And I do think Steve Nash is a good fit there. And it is chalky, but it's still 9-1 payout. I don't hate it. I'll take that all day.
Yeah, and what's obviously going to be a very popular team this year and a team that has a lot to improve on from last year and the years prior. Steve Nash, obviously a very sexy pick, Jeff. I like it.
Nice. All right, well, let's pick our winners for the conferences in the NBA Finals. I don't think there's going to be a lot of hot takes there, but I'm also don't want to put words in your mouth. I'll just come right off the top with my NBA Western Conference pick. It's the Lakers. I feel like I've set a pretty awesome, not awesome, but a pretty consistent track record of fishing for underdogs and buying stock that's low or that has a lot of upside. But I don't know. I'm just not going to overthink it. Lakers got better. Lakers have the second or first best player ever. They have the best defensive big in the league who still probably isn't hit his prime. And yeah, they got deeper. So I'm not going to play it because plus 130, they're not a lock like the Warriors were a few years ago, you know, but you know, if you have the portfolio or you have the bankroll big enough and you're just hammering NBA futures, I really wouldn't put money on any other Western Conference team. What do you think?
Yeah, obviously that's the right pick, but I have the Lakers as my NBA Finals winner at plus 275. Mm-hmm. So for me, there's no sense taking them in the Western Conference, just a lesser value. And, you know, Lakers, for them, it's championship or bust. Same for me betting them as well. So I took a chance on two more profitable teams on each side, well, one on each side. I have the Golden State Warriors plus 1,400 to win the West. And I have the Indiana Pacers, plus 4,000 to win the East. So the Pacers pick, it's seven players last year averaged double digits. And you know, they just ran into some serious injury trouble in the bubble. You know, Domantas Sabonis, the biggest of which. And, you know, Oladipo didn't play all year. He was in and out of the lineup at times. So I think that's a team, if they can avoid any of those injury troubles, they're a serious value at plus 4,000 to win an Eastern Conference that's much more wide open than the Western Conference. And then the Warriors, yeah, Steph Curry's back. That's really my only take there. Klay Thompson's unfortunately still out. Draymond Green's going to be back eventually. And this is a team that added the number two pick. And we're going to see Steph Curry and Andrew Wiggins together for the first time. So you know, I think that's a team that can oddly surprise a bunch of people this year.
Well, dude, you know how much of a hoops junkie I am. I actually think NBA is my best sport to bet, and it's the sport that I watch the most, just mostly because it's on TV the most. You know, I'd probably watch more football. It's close, whatever. But they got this new guy, this new coach. They went from Nate McMillan to Nate Borggren. I can't pronounce it, but he's a former assistant at Toronto under Nick Nurse. I'm very interested to see how he does, you know, how the Nick Nurse coaching tree does too, because me and you both have heaped plenty of praise on Nick Nurse and how awesome he is. And if this guy has a sliver of the coaching skill as he does, Pacers, I mean, they were a four seed last year, right? So, you know, the East is a little deeper this year. So if they maintain that spot, I think it'll be a job well done by him. And they have just a well-structured team. So I'm very interested to see how the Pacers are. And I feel like you don't hear that in a lot of places, but I am. I'm interested.
Yeah, I think it's one of the deepest rosters, at least in the Eastern Conference. And you know what? It's small market value, right? Like if they did the things they did last year and had the talent they had and they were a third Los Angeles team, you wouldn't be getting this price on the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, if he's an offensive guy, this Nate B, we'll just call him here. The defense was so sound and they have a great defensive team that I think that's not going to suffer very much. So if he can help with some offense, and really what he needs to focus on is just blending TJ Warren and Victor Oladipo. Victor Oladipo hasn't been a perfect fit for that team. It doesn't make much sense. So I like the Pacers as a long shot. Anyhow, I also, you know, like you, I'm taking the Lakers at +275 to win the finals. That's more here in discussion on this podcast than it is in actuality, because that's not a future that I'd really be into. But the Eastern Conference is another situation in the sense that if I'm being candid, I don't know how much I'm going to put down on it. But I do like the Celtics at +650. I already said I like Jason Tatum as the MVP. It usually takes a year for a super team to be in the finals. You know, obviously the Lakers didn't have a problem the year they got the first year they had Anthony Davis with LeBron James. But I think with the coaching and the amount of like losing, education from losing Boston's got, they can overcome the Nets in a 7-game series. So again, it is a little bit of value hunting, but I'll take the Celtics at +650. What are your I guess leans or likes for the Eastern Conference champion?
Yeah, it's the Pacers on a smaller value, but if you want a favorite, you want me to make one, I'm going to go with the 76ers and give that to Doc Rivers credit, I suppose, but we know how good this team is. It's still a team built of number one draft picks, right? And obviously so disappointing these last few years. You know, they've lost to good teams. They lost to the Toronto Raptors. Toronto Raptors went on to win the championship. Yeah, and they've had some injury troubles as well. So maybe Doc Rivers comes in and knows how to manage these injuries a little bit better and knows how to get guys to focus a little bit better and play their best when it matters the most. So yeah, I like the value there at +900 to follow your idea and just get some even better value than the Celtics at +650. But I can't hate on that pick too much.
All right, real quick before we head over to BetMGM Bug and break down what we have for the NFL Week 16 slate and the Christmas Day, the NBA Christmas Day slate, I had a couple team specials that I just want to rip through here real quick, and I can turn it over to you if you have any. I don't know what your status is with team specials. Is it all me here?
Yes, all you.
Gotcha. Great. Cool. So the three that I'm looking at, this is pretty much correlated, or I would actually recommend picking one or the other, but I'm going to go either Washington Wizards -110 to make the playoffs or Atlanta +105 to miss the playoffs. You would probably, I would say getting the plus money line would be best, because then you're not as focused on the Wizards, because the Magic, they keep sneaking in the playoffs. So that's a team that could beat both the Wizards and the Hawks. Or excuse me, they can make the playoffs over the Wizards and the Hawks. But I just think that Russell Westbrook, the disrespect has always gone too far for me. Again, I don't think he's the best player of a championship team. I don't even think he's the second best player of a championship team. But you can't average a triple-double for 3 years and win an MVP, consistently be in the playoffs, and be as maligned or as ripped as he is. Is he gonna help the Wizards get the Eastern Conference Finals? No, I don't believe that. But the Wizards in a weaker conference than the West, the East, I like them to make the playoffs. And if you want to be pessimistic about the Atlanta Hawks, which isn't really my angle, it feels like everyone's dishing on the Hawks. And if everyone's saying the same thing, I naturally want to be contrarian to that. So the Wizards minus 110, I guess, is my official play. I just talked myself into it. Also, I'm going no on Houston to make the playoffs at minus 125. I would lay that price point because I don't think Harden wants to be there. I don't truly believe Harden is going to be there. You know, if I'm reading the tea leaves or just listening to NBA Insider podcasts and also looking at the notifications, he's getting into fights with teammates, throwing the ball at rookies, openly violating COVID protocol. It's almost like he's being a shitty boyfriend so he could be dumped, right? I mean, if he's gone, do they have any chance of making the playoffs without him? Any chance?
Absolutely not. No.
So, no. I mean, I'm a big believer that D'Antoni got the absolute most out of James Harden, which I'm not trying to knock James Harden. That's not a bad thing. Steve Nash is going to the Hall of Fame because of Mike D'Antoni, right? So it's not a knock on James Harden, but you lose a 65-win coach who's been to the Western Conference Finals number of times. Like, you're going to take a step back, and the guy doesn't even want to be there. Minus 125, I'll take it. I mean, the Warriors could be better even if he is in the lineup. I don't know. The market's hitting the no on this for a reason. So that's my second best bet, one in each conference for team specials. And my best bet of all the NBA futures is, you know, again, unfortunately, the Lakers are going to win the finals. But the only future that I actually placed, I did it today, was Tatum. Tatum won the MVP, plus 2,500. I just love the long shot value there. I think it's typically a name people don't want to, like, it's hard for MVPs to win it consecutively, and I feel like the NBA writers and the NBA community is the nerdiest out of all of them. And what I mean by that is I think they try to go with the most niche picks and takes that they can. And Jason Tatum is playing on second or first seed Boston Celtics and averages close to 30 points per game, which I think is in the realm of possibility. At plus 2,500 is gonna dwindle to under 1,000 as the season progresses. Do you have anything to say to any of that, or are we going right to bet MGM bugging?
Yeah, no, I like it, and yeah, very strong Jason Tatum logic and a great player, and Boston Celtics team that's going to be very good. So that's a good way to find some value. Hopefully listeners took note, and I may even follow you on that one.
All right, cool. So let's go over to BetMGM Buggin.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. MGM Buggin.
BetMGM Buggin is our weekly segment, and for the past few months here, we've been focusing strictly on the NFL week-by-week slate. This week, we're going to do NFL Week 16, and we're also going to cover the NBA Christmas Day games. However, I have to step down from my pedestal as champion, and me, mine, and Essence head-to-head weekly NFL pick'em and turn over the hosting duties to him as per the rules of the game. He beat me 2-0-1 last week, was your record?
Yes, sir. Yep, 2-0-1.
Remind the listeners again. Remind the listeners again, and I guess me, of how you beat me.
Yeah, so I won 2-0-1. I hit on the Miami Dolphins minus 2.5 against the New England Patriots, and I hit on the Cleveland Browns against your New York Giants. And we pushed on Green Bay Packers, Carolina Panthers, 8-point spread is what we got, even though that closed at 8.5. Packers won by exactly 8, so an unfortunate tie, but I still got my 2 wins. Unfortunately, you're still up 27-24-2, but I'm feeling good. And there are 2 weeks left in the NFL season, NFL regular season. So, hey, just need to keep this up, and the title's mine. I feel it. I'm calling it.
All right, just to kind of set the table a little bit more before I turn it over to you and we dive into our Week 16 feast. Again, we are going to do the NBA Christmas Day slate, but we're also going to do a little bit of a muted or, I guess, just a lesser NFL Week 16 slate breakdown. We're going to do no NFC East games. The Giants and Baltimore Ravens is either currently off the book or was off the book as of a couple hours ago. No, Houston, Cincinnati is off the book. We're not going to do Chicago and Jacksonville. We're not going to do Denver and the Los Angeles Chargers because there's no stakes really in that game. There are obviously stakes in Chicago, Jacksonville, but we want to keep this to a leaner segment, especially when we're going to cover the NBA. But without further ado, Eston, take this bad boy over.
Yeah, here we go. BetMGM bugging NFL Week 16. Just to add on to that list, Jeff, Carolina, Washington also off. Philadelphia, Dallas, obviously no one should be watching that. Cincinnati, Houston off the board. Indianapolis, Pittsburgh also off the board. So let's dive in. First, Friday, Christmas Day, 4:30 p.m. ET kickoff. The Minnesota Vikings on the road as 7-point underdogs at the 10-4 New Orleans Saints, who are -7 at -110 odds. Over under here of 51.5, -110 either way. 6-8 Minnesota Vikings still very much in the running for that 7 seed in the NFC. And they got to catch up to the Chicago Bears, who they lost to last week. Jeff, New Orleans Saints did not look good last week, but that was against a Kansas City Chiefs team, and they somehow made that a 32-29 loss in the closest loss that felt like a blowout I may have ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. You know how brutal it was for me to chop that? It was make or break between a winning week and a losing week. And the chop was brutal. What did they got in the back door, right? They scored 12 in the fourth to get in there. Oh man, whatever. It was brutal. You know, as much as I can't stand Kirk Cousins or betting on Kirk Cousins, excuse me, this is just a great spot for Minnesota. Off an embarrassing loss where everyone's down on them. They still have a little bit of stakes, but Mike Zimmer is a quality coach who's going to get his team ready to play. They're playing a team they've had success against. Obviously, they beat them in the playoffs last year, so you could counter with a revenge motivational factor for the New Orleans Saints, but don't they have to be a little like butthurt or sullen that they just lost the biggest regular season game of the year? Drew Brees is a little banged up. They're not going to have Michael Thomas. Minnesota is for as poorly as they looked on defense last week against Mitch Trubisky. If they get Eric Kendricks back, they're going to be much better. And this Atlanta offense, or excuse me, this New Orleans offense is gimmicky, right? And they have Alvin Kamara, but how excited are we about Drew Brees with broken ribs in his body and no Michael Thomas? So you also got 86% of the cash on New Orleans, and they're laying a full touchdown. I got to take the +7. Okay. Can't stand myself for it, but I got to take it. What do you think? Are we going head-to-head?
Drew Brees is nowhere near the same player without Michael Thomas in the lineup, at least at this stage of his career. Obviously, a future Hall of Famer. But, yeah, I'm on Minnesota here, +7. That's just way too many. Minnesota's won 3 of the last 4 head-to-head meetings, and that's not something I usually look at for non-division games, but these teams have played a lot of big games the last few years, a couple of playoff meetings in there, and a couple of very memorable wins for Minnesota. So +7 here off an ugly loss to Chicago. I'm going to take the team with the more important game for playoff reasons. On the same page, on to Saturday, 3 games here, 1 o'clock, 4:30, and 8:15. Very much something like a Thanksgiving Day slate here on December 26th. So get your Christmas celebrations in and then get ready for a 3-day Saturday NFL slate. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 9-5, 9-point favorites at the 5-9 Detroit Lions. Lions plus 9, minus 110 at home, over under 53.5, minus 115 for the over, minus 105 for the under. I like the Bucks here. Matt Stafford is supposedly going to keep on playing. Don't really know why, because Detroit Lions are not helping him.
Man's got honor, that's why.
Oh, more than anybody I think I've ever known.
Yeah, I don't usually quote the Bible, but don't they say the pride comes before the falleth or something? Maybe that's just The Departed. I don't know. That's probably what I'm quoting is The Departed. I think people are coming around to my side of thinking with Tampa Bay, and this defense is overrated. It's overrated. Atlanta was able to carve up that team, mostly in the first half. They were always in a shit their pants in the second half, but they were without a Hall of Fame wide receiver. It took Tom Brady getting in gear for the Bucs to actually run down the Falcons and win that game. They didn't cover as well, so they're kind of limping down the stretch, in my opinion. And, you know, you kind of alluded to it, but they say, smarter people than me, or like, I don't know, more poetic people than me, say that your team usually takes the identity of your leader. And I don't get it. You don't get it, obviously, but Matt Stafford refuses to mail it in. He refuses. This guy's out here throwing, did you see the video of him throwing a no-look pass? Like, he's balling and he refuses to quit. If they get Kenny Galladay back, their offense, I think, is going to be legit sick. I'm on the over 53.5. It's juiced up to minus 115. And I'd go head-to-head with you if you're going to give me 9 points.
Okay, let's do it. You talk about Detroit Lions and Matt Stafford showing lots of valor. I don't care. They still get crushed routinely. Lost 46-25 last week. Maybe Kenny Galladay comes back. I'm not going to count on it. At least Tuesday, I'm willing to go ahead and make this bet with you. Yeah, the Detroit Lions are the Atlanta Falcons. Horrible defense and a good enough offense to put up points. So yeah, I'm with you on the over, but I'm on the Bucks here for sure. The Atlanta Falcons were able to jump out to a lead. Yeah, Tom Brady's new in Tampa Bay, but the Falcons are much more familiar with that defense than the Lions are. So Buccaneers to win by 10 points, I'll take it.
Oh, you heard me. You heard me tout the over. I am not counting on Detroit's defense, not even a little bit. Give me 34-27. That's what's going to happen. They'll close the cover the plus 9, and I'll get over. That's all I got on that game.
Sure. 4:30 p.m. Eastern Saturday. 5-9 San Francisco 49ers are 4.5-point underdogs at the 8-6 and playoff contending Arizona Cardinals, who are 4.5-point favorites, minus 110 odds, over under 48.5, minus 110 odds either way. CJ Beathard starting for the San Francisco 49ers. In case you needed a reason to watch, Arizona won the first meeting of the season between the two NFC West rivals, 34-20 in week one. Does CJ Beathard lead the 49ers to some sort of revenge or at least cover what seems like a very small 4.5-point spread?
Honestly, this isn't something that I'm willing to play. The 4.5 is ridiculous to me. It's even more ridiculous that it opened at minus 3, given how these teams are trending. I know, and the Cardinals have played the 49ers really well, right? The three times they've met since Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray's been in town, they beat them on the first game of the season, right? And didn't they split the two last year? I don't know. But how these teams are trending, I don't understand how the 49ers are only getting 4.5. 80% of the cash is on the Cardinals. And to me, they're not moving the line as aggressively as I think they should be. I mean, you got Nick Mullins. So San Francisco's on their third-string quarterback. We can argue if he should be their third-string quarterback, but they're going to have no Raheem Mostert. Obviously, no Kittle. They're not going to have Deebo Samuel. Both Deebo Samuel and Mostert is out for the year. They're banged up all over the offensive line. Their secondary is pretty healthy, so they can make life tough on the Cardinals, and maybe the game goes under because of which, and they dial up some time eating offense, but you know, if I were to play this either way, officially I'll pass. If I'll play this the other way, I'll be a sucker and I'll take the Cardinals -4.5.
Yeah, absolutely. The Cardinals beat a healthy reigning NFC champion 49ers team by 14 in week one. So how there's any perception that they can't beat this injury ravaged 49ers team by at least 5 points. I don't know. Yeah, they win this handily. They're coming off 33-26 win against a better Philadelphia Eagles team. Anyway, the Miami Dolphins and Las Vegas Raiders will be the Saturday nightcap. Yes. Miami coming off a big 22-12 statement win over the New England Patriots. Helped me in my head-to-head competition against you. Las Vegas Raiders fell to 7-7 with a 30-27 overtime loss at home to the Los Angeles Chargers last week. Raiders, 2.5-point home underdogs. Dolphins, -2.5, -115 as the favorites. Over under 47.5, -105 for the over, -115 for the under. Have to go Dolphins here, right? Win by just a field goal against a Raiders team seemingly headed nowhere, with a very bad run defense after the Miami Dolphins just carved up the New England Patriots with their run game.
Yeah, Raiders do have extra time to prep, and I think I like John Gruden, but he's probably going to need the extra time against Brian Flores.
Yeah.
This is essentially a win or go home game for the Raiders. I will say, to me, this game is unplayable at +3, but if you get it underneath the key number, it's hard to not take the Dolphins. You know, it really is. They Brian Flores gets the most out of that team. He really does. It's very impressive. It's why he's in the conversation for NFL Coach of the Year, and why the Dolphins have a very legitimate chance, which is a funny way of saying it considering the record, but they have a very legitimate chance of making the AFC playoffs. There's bottlenecked at the wild card spot. No home crowd for the Raiders. I do think that matters a little bit. And I usually like to fade the market, you know, especially when it's so lopsided. Again, I'm going to go with them. That 73% of the cash is on the Dolphins. It's gotten steam from +1.5. How they're ever getting +1.5 is kind of a mystery to me. To under the key number of 2.5. So as long as it stays under there, that's something I'm definitely willing to put my money on. But I would hurry up and get it, right? Because I would assume it gets to 3 before kickoff, but maybe not. I like the Dolphins -2.5.
Yep. Good take. And another good point to monitor line movement. Jeff talks about it each and every week. He's a big fan, works into every handicap he does for Sportsbook Wire. And yeah, that's a great point here. Get the value while you can. Sometimes you want to act quickly on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. Other times you want to wait until closer to kickoff. Get the Miami Dolphins while they're hot at -2.5.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Speaking
what,
of hot.
I was going to say, I don't even know what news would come from for this game that would hurt the Dolphins, like would make the Dolphins right. cheaper. Like even
right.
if Tua got injured in practice, you can make the argument that they're better off at quarterback for a week. So I don't know.
Already have Marcus Mariota likely to start for Las Vegas. So how that line's not bigger, I don't know.
Oh.
Anyway, you ruined my perfect segue. But
sorry. Oh,
you have something else?
No, I was just going to say that I forgot about Marcus Mariota, and that's an interesting point because if you saw the game last week, Marcus Mariota came in and threw a changeup, and it was interesting. And if Brian Flores didn't have the time to prepare for him, I actually would like the Raiders in a change-up spot with Mariota, but him having to prep for Mariota and Mariota's backing up Derek Carr was for a reason. I thought that was a good point and something I didn't even think about when I was coming up with my little handicap, but I just had to jump in there. Sorry, Essen, for ruining your awesome transition.
Yes, so if you remember, I had said Miami Dolphins are hot right now. Speaking of hot, the Cleveland Browns come in off of that big win against the New York Giants that helped me to a 2-0-1 over Jeff in our head-to-head competition. Browns won 5 of 6, including 20-6 last week. 8.5-point favorites at the now 1-13 New York Jets. Whew, that one hurt. Over under 46.5, -110 either side. New York Jets cost themselves a draft pick with a 23-20 win at the Los Angeles Rams in probably the worst football game that I hope is ever played. Give me brownies at whatever number. The Jets are done. Their proud, valiant players got their one win. Straight back to the tank job. That franchise cannot afford a second win this season. Brownies, they're in the hunt for the AFC North. This game means a whole lot more to them than it does to the Jets. They turn on the Jets here, put their foot down. Baker Mayfield looking really good. The Browns looking really good.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great spot to fade the Browns, and I'm willing to do it again with an even crappier New York team than last week's spot. But they're getting 80% of the money on the road. Jets defense is eighth in rush defense DVOA. You know, that's going to be obviously paramount when you're going against Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. I lost my survivor pool last week because I was one of the dum-dums that picked the Los Angeles Rams. You know, what can you do? My hands were tied. I talked about it last week in the podcast that I was all over the Titans, over Detroit. But then when Detroit announced that Matthew Stafford was going to play unexpectedly, I moved off of that and thought I would just take an easy winner with the Rams. But as the NFL proved, any given Sunday, there's no such thing as an easy winner. And every game where you think you know exactly what's going to happen, you can't really bank on it in the NFL. That's what makes it the best and funnest and hardest sport to bet on. So I'm gonna take the points here, and I don't fully know how they're going to get there because Baker Mayfield had 5 incompletions last week. They're playing their best football, Browns, probably ever in this iteration of the Browns. So whatever, I'll take the, what is it? 8, 9?
8.5.
8.5. I'll take it. It's over a full score, so.
All right, so 2 big favorites I'm on. Worried about that already. but hey, no, feel good. Browns looking good. And the impressive thing to me, they had been winning shootouts and show that they can win shootouts. Did it against Tennessee Titans, almost did it against the Baltimore Ravens. Then they went into New York last week and beat the Giants at their own game. New York wants to play a slow, low-scoring game. Well, Browns did that and won 20-6. So give me Cleveland here. It's going back to New York and playing, like you said, the significantly worse of the two teams in the Big Apple. Next game, the Atlanta Falcons, 11-point underdogs at the Kansas City Chiefs, rightfully so. Kansas City -11, -110, over under 54.5, -110 either side. An expected shootout here. And hey, give me Patrick Mahomes to win a shootout each and every week, especially against these Atlanta Falcons, who lost to the Buccaneers last week, will lose to the Buccaneers next week, and are going to end 4-12 because they are getting absolutely crushed this week when the Kansas City Chiefs win by 14 plus.
Oh, man. I mean, hey, you want to gamble, let's gamble. I already know I'm going to play this. I'm going to take the Falcons +11 pre-flop, and then when they get an early lead, I'm just going to hammer live bet the Chiefs. That's it. I'm just going to hammer live bet them. The Chiefs have limped through their past 6 wins. They're 0-5-1 against the spread. Over the last 6, all wins, they're winning dirty. And outside of Green Bay and both New Orleans games, all the Falcons' losses have come by one score. It's like they're addicted, or they're a glutton for punishment. Like, they're going to flirt with an upset here. They are. For how long? Who knows, right? But that's my play. I'm going to take the what is it, 11? The 11 now with 11. The full with just the plan of hammering the Chiefs live.
Okay, that's good take, and I feel bad about that pick already, but hey, it's locked in, so here we are. But back to your strategy of waiting for the Falcons to get an early lead and then hammering the Chiefs with a live bet. How big does the Falcons lead have to be for those odds to truly change?
I think if they get up to 14, you can get like -120, -125, which would be fine for me for an outright Chiefs win. If they're up 14 at the end of the first quarter, I think you're probably going to get even money.
Ah, All right, well, we'll see. But yeah, the Atlanta Falcons, I'm sure not trusting them, and I'm not sure. And no, nobody should be at this point. So,
want to go head to head?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're head to head. It's written down.
Cool.
Up to three picks already. We're cruising on this slate. Good thing though, we only have three NFL games left here. We're talking about today, and NBA not yet counting toward our head to head competition. We'll have to start anew once the NFL regular season ends. But we'll move on to Los Angeles Rams at the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks -1.5 favorites, -110 odds, over under 47.5, -105 over, -115 under. Rams, they lost to the Jets, Jeff. Lost to the freaking Jets.
Yeah.
Had won four of their previous five. Put up the greatest stinker in probably sport. The Milwaukee Bucks lost to an injury-ravaged Brooklyn Nets team last year.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah, maybe that was the biggest stinker in sports history, but Rams definitely threw their hat in the ring. Seattle 2015 road win at a very good Washington football team defense. Incompetent Washington football team offense, at least with Alex Smith on the shelf. But nobody has looked more incompetent than the Rams this season. Seattle doesn't want to lose. Seattle doesn't want to lose to a Rams team that just lost to the freaking Jets, right? That's my handicap here. The only thing worse than losing to the Jets is losing to the team that lost to the Jets. Also, the Rams won 23-16 in week 10 against the Seahawks. So Seattle doesn't want to get swept by a team that lost to the freaking Jets. So they cover 1.5 and they win this game.
I don't have much contrary to say to your take. I would play the Seahawks if anything. I might end up playing the Seahawks as we get closer to Sunday here. But at the moment, I guess the best thing you could say about the Rams' performance last week is that maybe it was a look-ahead spot to Seattle. And the worst thing I think you could say is that this is just another example of a very inconsistent Jared Goff. And that continues to be the issue with this team is Jared Goff has a little bit of Kirk Cousins in him in the sense that he very rarely wins his team a game. He'll execute the game plan, and if it's a great game plan and he's hitting wide receivers who are open in space and they got help with a running game and the defense is playing as well as it can, yeah, he's a quarterback on a winning team. But I don't know how much of a winning quarterback Jared Goff himself is. I do fully expect Seattle to even the season series and -1.5. Obviously, it's a great number. I guess the sucker in me is wondering why it's only -1.5, or why they're only favored 1.5, especially after just a terrible Rams performance. So, I don't know. I'll pass, but I definitely lean the Seahawks.
Yeah, Goff threw for 302 yards in that Week 10 meeting against Seattle, one of his highest totals of the season, but that was against a very different Seahawks defense than we've seen these last few weeks. Yeah, they only gave up 15 to Washington last week. Washington's offense is awful. But just in general, Seattle's defense has been playing much better lately. Jamal Adams, ever since he's come back from injury, has been playing like a defensive player of the year. So, yeah, I'm absolutely on Seattle here. Tennessee Titans at Green Bay Packers in a very good Sunday night football game. Means a lot to both teams. Titans 10-4, Packers 11-3, trying to wrap up the number one seed in the NFC. Titans still fighting the Indianapolis Colts for the number one seed in the AFC South. Packers are 3.5-point favorites, -105 odds, +3.5, -115 for the Titans. Over under very high here, 55.5, -110 on either side. Both teams coming off wins. Both teams have strung together wins, and both teams playing very good. I'm hung up on this one, Jeff, so I'll give you the first pick, and then I'll see if I like the other side based off of your take.
Yeah, I would take the Titans at 3.5. You know, you give me the hook there. It's a key number. The Packers have struggled to put together clean or consistently clean performances for four quarters. You know, they look great in the first half of their past couple games. Panthers, they should have blown out by double digits. And granted, the Panthers got in the back door, but the Titans are, you know, they have the offense to get in the back door, and they have the offense to push around the Packers' defense, which is average at best. And the Titans, their defense is far below average. And given how bad they are on third down or red zone, or in the red zone, I might, you know, take the high over as well, at 55.5. It is a big number, especially in a primetime game. But yeah, I'm going to take the Titans plus 3.5 here. I consistently just feel that the Packers aren't as good as their record. And it's a must win for the Titans, right? I mean, they don't have the AFC South locked up. I think they're technically in the lead, right? And I mean, if they were to lose both their games, they don't even have a wild card locked up. So it's a big spot for them. I'm pretty sure the Packers already won the division, right?
Yeah, already won the division and currently holding the number one seed, but the Saints among the teams who can catch them.
For sure. I'll take the 3.5. It is a fat number. Fat enough for a good team with the Titans.
This is a Matt LaFleur revenge game, is it not?
Yeah, former OC for the Titans. Good call. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Give me that. I'll take Packers minus 3.5. That's our fourth pick, which means we're going to have to go head-to-head on Monday Night Football as well because we can't end in a tie.
How about we do this? Because no one wants to take the Patriots, right?
Ah, I was hoping you would.
No. We have a few days until Christmas. I think we could put a Christmas game as just like a little Christmas gift to ourselves on the slate here to break the tie if you want to do that. Or on the head-to-head.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
All right. Feel good about that. But yeah, I like the Packers. We saw what the Cleveland Browns did to the Tennessee Titans defense and just ran all over them and then passed all over them as well. No team has a better balanced attack than the Packers with Aaron Jones and Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. So, you know, give me the Packers, you know, more weapons to just annihilate this Tennessee Titans defense. I do also really like the Titans offense, but I have a little more faith in the Packers defense, I guess. And hey, this is going to be at a cold Lambeau Field at night, which is pretty different than Nashville, Tennessee in the middle of a Sunday afternoon. So I like Packers here to use what they have of a home field advantage.
It gets frigid down there.
On to Monday Night Football. As we said, we're passing on betting it because no one likes the Patriots. They are plus 6.5 underdogs. Bills minus 6.5 point favorites. They come in having clinched the AFC East division, in case you haven't heard, which would be pretty tough because if you have even remotely a connection to any sort of Buffalo Bills fan, you've been told about that since Sunday. Just nonstop. Buffalo Bills fans, Bills Mafia, very excited about that division win. So yeah, maybe you can talk yourself into a Patriots bet just off of a motivated Bill Belichick against a team who's just, you know, hasn't been there before, certainly not acting like they've been there before, and just flaunting this division crown. Patriots were also playoff eliminated last week, which hurt them. So, you know, maybe you get an angry, pissed off Bill Belichick and he riles up the Pats and gets them to make this a contest, but I don't know. I don't want to bet it. Josh Allen, a top five quarterback. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong. Yeah, again, this is a take that I had before we ever started doing this podcast, but he was, I thought he was the best quarterback in the 2018 draft class. I can't collect a win on that right now because Lamar Jackson is the reigning MVP, but Josh Allen looks like he's going to be in the MVP conversation for years to come. I'm excited about him. I think he's in a class of two with that kind of arm talent. If you saw the way they played Denver last week, Denver was getting some pass rush. He's able to back up to like a 15-step drop, throw it off his back foot, and keep the velocity. It's kind of beautiful. Like, he's got a cannon. He's got a cannon, and with this coaching staff, they've unlocked it. Stephon Diggs. I mean, everything this coaching staff in front office has done has worked. everything. And, you know, I'm probably just going to lean into full-on sucker on this one. And I think I'm going to shop alternate lines to the Buffalo Bills because I don't see it as a letdown spot. I see it as a kill shot. They've been getting their asses handed to them by this team for 20 years. The fan base is angry. I think it's seeped into the to the whole vibe of the team. And if they can, they're going to hang a 40 unanswered on the Patriots. That's my vibe. I will concede that this is how alphas in Vegas make money. 90% of the money is on the Bills. There's absolutely no reason to bet the Patriots, just like the Jets last week. This is probably where sharps come in and be like, yeah, we'll take the 7 with the Patriots at home. But I'm going to go full-on sucker, and I just think the Bills are just going to mop them and kick them while they're down, right? Push their head deeper into the water. That's what I think.
Right, and because the Pittsburgh Steelers very much suck now, the Bills are in full contention, if not the favorite, for the number 2 seed in the AFC. Not going to get number 1 and not going to get a bye, but that 2 seed is still meaningful, right? So, yeah, and they have plenty of motivation to beat the hated Patriots here. We're probably both on the same side. I was just trying to play devil's advocate there and talk up a case for Bill Belichick, but yeah, they're done. Stick a fork in them.
We gotta anyway, sell the games too, you know? We're part of the fan club.
Well, exactly. On to NBA Christmas Day, the day more so than ever before the entire 2021 season has been built around. They had to force in the December 22nd start so that they had a few days to prepare for their, you know, most profitable day of the year, really, on an international level. You know, Jeff mentioned off the top, he's a big NBA bettor, his best sport, much more so than me. I look, like to look for value. It's not any means my main sport. In the top 5, we'll say. But yeah, there are a few games here on this Christmas Day slate. On a watching perspective, I'm very interested in all 5 of these matchups. Betting-wise, I got a few I like, but this is going to be mostly Jeff. I'm going to play a little bit of point guard here. We gave some love to Steve Nash off the top. I'm going to try to emulate the Canadian basketball hero. Nice. New Orleans Pelicans come in 5.5-point underdogs off of the reigning Eastern Conference champion Miami Heat, who are only laying 5.5 points at home, -110. Jeff, what's with the New Orleans Pelicans? Ever since Zion Williamson first suited up for his first game last year, they've seemingly been, if not favored, just lesser underdogs than I think they should be, right? And they made some moves this offseason. They brought in Steven Adams, brought in Eric Bledsoe. But Drew Holiday is gone. Derek Favors is gone. Miami Heat coming off Eastern Conference title and gave the Lakers something of a run in the NBA Finals. I'm on the Heat -5.5 here. Am I wrong in thinking that BetMGM's bugging with this line?
No. And because of how well the Heat shoot from deep, 5 is not a big number for them to clear, especially against the Pelicans team that really has no pedigree or DNA for winning. I love Brandon Ingram. I actually like Lonzo Ball. And I don't think anyone has anything bad to say about Zion, the prospect and the upside. But, you know, it's a new coach, Stan Van Gundy, right? They still got to mix in Steven Adams, who's going to add some toughness, much-needed toughness and experience to that team. But again, it's, you know, it's no reason for a look-ahead spot. Clearly, it's the biggest game, or it's the biggest day in the NBA season for everyone. You know, the Heat are going to prove that it wasn't a fluke and roll up the Pelicans. So I would lay the 5.5 before I took the 5.5, especially sight unseen with the Pelicans and Stan Van Gundy, who could work. There's a high ceiling, low floor with that team, especially, you know, when you consider all the talent. But, you know, they were pretty bad defensively last year, and I don't see how much that gets better. They were 19th in defensive efficiency. They play a really high pace, so I could see the over getting cash in here. But right now, BetMGM hasn't listed an over, so we can't go there. So just to keep it clean, I would also lean to the Heat -5. I'm not going to take it to the window with me, though.
Okay, and again, that game, or sorry, for the first time, that game tipping off at 12:10 p.m. Eastern Time, Christmas Day, 2:40 p.m. Eastern Time, Christmas Day. Milwaukee Bucks are 7-point favorites hosting the new-look Golden State Warriors. Bucks minus 7, minus 110. Golden State plus 7, minus 110. Like Jeff said, we don't have over-unders for these games. I kind of like the Warriors plus 7. You touched on it before. We've touched on it before. This is a team, you know, getting Steph Curry back in the lineup. And, you know, we don't know if Draymond Green's going to be playing in this game, but Andrew Wiggins, you know, James Wiseman as well. Very talented team led by Steph. Milwaukee Bucks, yeah, they could win the Eastern Conference again. They're the favorites to do so. I don't know. I think they just get caught. They've made a lot of moves this offseason as well, more so than you usually see with a contender. So I think maybe we get a bit of a slow start from the Bucks this season, and the Warriors, I think we see a very strong start led by a good head coach in Steve Kerr.
Well, Jrue Holiday is considered one of the best defensive point guards in the league, and he's the big new addition to the Bucks. I think they overpaid for him, but he, the player, and the employee, for lack of a better term, is awesome. And they kind of gambled on him being a good fit with Giannis, and whether or not Giannis really dug his vibe when they practiced, or he was always going to re-sign that massive extension. It effectively worked. He's there for a somewhat long term. And I mean, the Bucks were the one seed last year. What is it? Let me pull it up. Was 7? I would lay the 7 full touchdown with the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't think we're going to have Draymond Green back. Who is going to stop Giannis? Like, they're going to be able to score their points, and we're just talking about the Warriors being able to keep up. The only way that they could keep up, which is a very foreseeable way to cash an ATS ticket, is that the Bucks, despite having the best defensive efficiency in the league, one thing that I will point out is that they did allow their guys to just, or they did allow their opponents to chuck threes. They gave up the most 3-point attempts in the NBA. Partially, that could be the people trying to catch up with them or keep up with their scoring, right? So they're kind of jacking more so. But also, if the Warriors get comfortable from deep, obviously, you could say this about them for years now, but if Steph Curry and the team gets comfortable deep, then they can cover the number. But I would take the Bucks minus 7 here because, again, I think the biggest part of the handicap is the biggest factor is no Draymond. I mean, Giannis is just going to have a field day against that team.
Okay, well, I still like the Warriors a little bit at plus 7, so let's make this our tiebreak game if we need it. If it's decided in the 4 NFL games this week, we won't include this in our head-to-head competition, but if we tie in NFL, this is the split decision. I have Warriors plus 7, you have Bucks minus 7.
Cool.
Okay, on to the third Christmas Day basketball game. 5:10 p.m., Brooklyn Nets, minus 1-point favorites on the road at the Boston Celtics, plus 1, minus 110 at home. Celtics, you talked them up before in Scope and Futures. You like them. You like Jason Tatum. Obviously, Brad Stevens is a good head coach. The Nets, yeah, everybody knows they've stolen headlines in whatever short offseason we had. And in the preseason, a lot of hype, a lot of love going to Kevin Durant, head coach, Steve Nash, assistant coach Mike D'Antoni. We've loved all episode long here.
Yeah.
1 point, essentially a pick 'em here. Gotta like the Celtics at home, maybe a little bit. You know, at least the team that's been together longer, as you said, you talked about the Brooklyn Nets being a super team. Well, the Boston Celtics are a budgeting superstar team, at least. You know, a little more homegrown value here, but a team that's been together, a little more cohesive, perhaps. Good offseason additions this year with Tristan Thompson, Jeff Teague, Gordon Hayward's gone, Enes Kanter's gone. Not really huge losses based on how much they played last year. So I'm on Celtics plus 1 here at home.
Okay, so we're on the same page. I do like the Celtics here. I do think this is going to be an Eastern Conference Finals preview. I want to zag on the Nets so much. But I can't. They're stacked. They check all the boxes. They have the go-to scorer, then get 2 points against anyone. They have depth. They have three-point shooting. They have size. I think they have coaching, or I'm projecting them having good coaching. But the Celtics have even better coaching. They've been together longer. I think this is a pop year for Jason Tatum, like I've said already. Jaylen Brown is underrated. Marcus Smart brings enough toughness that could frustrate a newer Nets team. I don't want to say they're soft, but they still have to like learn how to win together, right? And you know, Celtics are, I think, are going to be more locked in earlier in the season than the Nets, and they're gonna pile up wins earlier than the Nets. The Nets might come on strong, might end up winning the one seed, but here in this spot, I'm taking the Celtics on Christmas. So I'm with you there.
All right. Moving on to the defending champion, Los Angeles Lakers, -7 point favorites against, you know, a 2020-21 championship contender, a popular long shot bet, at least, Dallas Mavericks, +7 on the road, -110 odds, the Lakers, -7, -110. You know what? Betting the Lakers until teams give me a reason not to, right? This is a defending champion team that got better this offseason. Added Marc Gasol, added Montrezl Harrell, added Dennis Schroeder, Wesley Matthews. You know, a couple losses as well, but certainly none of them as big as those additions. Give me the Lakers here. This is a Mavericks team. Kristaps Porzingis is out the first month at least of the season. Luka Doncic isn't beating LeBron James and co. on his own.
Yeah, I lean to the Mavericks +7. Their game last year, the first meeting between the Mavericks and Lakers, honestly one of the better regular season games I've seen in years. It was so much fun, such high caliber basketball. The Mavericks added Josh Richardson, a nice 3-and-D guy who looked pretty good at the end of the bubble before the Sixers got bounced out by the Celtics, I believe. Tim Hardaway is a nice fit. Tim Hardaway is about average to below average. But he's made, I would say, above average by just playing with Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic gives him in-rhythm shots. They have size, too, legitimate size. Yeah, KP's not going to be there, but Dwight Powell's back. Willie Cauley-Stein can definitely play some clutch or some nice big man rotation minutes. And Boban Marjanovic, I always butcher that, but Boban, y'all know who I'm talking about, is an awesome big man, especially for 10, 15 minutes at a time. So he can essentially mute or cancel out JaVale McGee, or who's the other big man they have there? It's just JaVale McGee and Anthony Davis. Dwight Howard's moved on. I know I'm missing a name. Whatever. I would take the 7 there because Mavericks are going to come in a little more motivated, and it is a Christmas game, so it's tough. It's tough, but I would take the Mavericks +7. It's more, it's a lean. I'm not going to take it to the window with me.
Okay, and we're not doing this one head-to-head. So final game of Christmas Day, 10:40 p.m. ET tip-off. So whew, get your sleep this week because you're going to be up all day Christmas. Los Angeles Clippers, -1.5 point favorites at the Denver Nuggets. This is a playoff rematch, I suppose. Nuggets +1.5. You know what? I'm on the Clippers, -1.5 to get some revenge here after getting kicked out in the second round. Yeah. They've gotten better this year as well. Obviously, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, they're going to be angry. Serge Ibaka, Luke Kennard, Nicholas Batum joined them. So I'm going to take the Clippers -1.5 on the road after they open on Tuesday against the Lakers.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the Nuggets, or excuse me, the Lakers and the Clippers play. I'm starting to feel that the Clippers are undervalued in a sense, right? They had an absolutely embarrassing and a horrible exit of the bubble last year, granted, to these Nuggets. But, I mean, they were projected to be a lock for the Western Conference Finals the whole time. So having the motivation of the that embarrassment is huge. From a matchup perspective, it's hard to ignore the massive advantage Nikola Jokic is going to have against Serge Ibaka, who I love. I'm a big Serge Ibaka fan, but they have him penciling in as a starter over Zubac, which you get Clipper fans talking about Zubac and how little playing time he gets. That should change, you would think, with Tyronn Lue. You know, if he's listening to the fan base, which I know he shouldn't do much of, but I think they're right about Zubac. But as of right now, it looks like Ibaka is going to start. And Jokic just worked Zubac last year in the their playoff series anyhow. But I'm kind of with you in the sense that I lean Clippers just because I think there's some value there. Their offseason was underwhelming, you know. I think Serge Ibaka was by far and away the best addition they had. Luke Kennard could be nice, but no sexy, splashy pickups. And they definitely didn't do enough to get past the Lakers unless that this core just gets better year over year. But they're so sick defensively, right? With Paul George, Pat Beverly, and Kawhi Leonard, and it being Christmas and them wanting to get a little bit of revenge, I lean to them. But again, not enough to take it to the window. I guess I'm beating or just repeating myself over and over. But yeah, that's what I got. I lean Clippers.
All right, I like it. And there's NBA Christmas Day slate and week 16 of the NFL, a condensed version here on Bet Slippin' Podcast. But we have to do what we had to do to fit in some big NBA games. And you know what? We think we've caught BetMGM bugging. We wish you luck in catching them doing the same. So, yeah, we'll go back to Jeff to take us to the window to recap quickly our four NFL picks head-to-head. I have the Buccaneers -9. I have the Cleveland Browns -8.5. I have the Chiefs -11.5. And I have the Packers 3.5. So four favorites, which means I can't lose. Hope we're going to make up some much needed ground against Jeff. And yeah, we have Golden State Warriors, Dallas Mavericks as our potential fifth and deciding game. I have the Mavericks +7 in that. And yeah, Jeff, take it away. Go on with it.
Wait. Okay, no. What's our NBA head-to-head game?
Mavericks Lakers. What did I say?
No, I thought you had the Warriors +7. And I went with the Bucks -7.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. My bad. Yep. Okay. Warriors +7 against the Bucks -7.
All right, cool. Just want to clarify that. All right, cool. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, I'm trying to beat you and not demoralize you, but definitely whoop up on you and get the win back. I'm a little disappointed I had to give you the pedestal and the hosting duties, even though you are a great host, Eston. Yeah, we're going to the window. This is where we just lock in our bets, pretty much regurgitate things that we say and, you know, where we're laying our money down as we get out of here.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the window.
I guess I'll start it off here. I'm going to just, you know, I am putting the Jason Tatum +2,500. I'm as MVP here on my bet slip. And I'm also taking the Atlanta Falcons +11 because, again, no one wants to bet the Falcons because they lose so epically bad, right? But it is a big number, and they usually don't get beat that bit by that big of a number. The Saints, the reason for them losing that badly to the Saints is a lot of it on the Saints defense, which Chiefs don't have. And again, they're just kind of limping to the end. They're just trying to be healthy, and they're actually a little less healthy with no Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So, again, I'm going to take the Falcons +11. Jason Tatum +2,500. And I'll get another pick here in a second, but what do you got on your slip?
Yeah, I got a couple NFL ones here. Well, okay, no, I'll go back. I'll do one NBA future because we spend a lot of time on there, and this is the best time to place your NBA futures bets. Nick Nurse +4,000 for Coach of the Year is my favorite of the bets we talked about on the show. I like that, as Jeff mentioned, as I erroneously said before, he is the defending Coach of the Year. So plus four thousand value for that is great. NFL picks. I love the Minnesota Vikings +7 against New Orleans Saints. That is a bet Jeff and I agreed to when we went through the slate. I really, really like that. I like the under 48.5 San Francisco 49ers at Arizona Cardinals. No way CJ Beathard is leading the 49ers to their share of those points against the Cardinals. Let's do a couple more here. I like the Seattle Seahawks -1.5 against the Rams. That number is way too low, and I think that's going to go up through the weekend, so you should probably jump on that one sooner than later. And yeah, that'll do it for me this week. It's the holidays. you got to save up some money for some guests. You can't spend it all at BetMGM, unfortunately.
That's not the kind of commercial they want to hear. No, I got one more. I'm going to just go with the Bills, going back to Squareville. So I'm in the circuit contest this year. Not going very well for me. It's I'm four games below 500. I've been in an NFL betting contest. This would be the fourth year, two of the years I'm above 500. I think the third year was right around there. I'm over 500 for my career betting documented NFL games. So got a bit of an uphill battle to climb to finish above 500. But a team that keeps cashing for me is the Buffalo Bills. I've bet them. I'm 7-1 when picking the Bills this year. And if it's not broke, don't fix it. Again, it's a square play. 90% of the money is on the Bills, but I think they go for the kill shot for the Patriots. I think there is a little more value on the Patriots, or added value on the Patriots, because they did cover the last meeting, despite them having essentially the same team and the same problems. But again, I do believe in the kill shot that's coming from the Bills. And no Stephon Gilmore for the Patriots. Who is going to guard Stephon Diggs? That guy is on fire lately. Josh Allen's on fire. They're going to want to bring a Patriots scout back to Buffalo with them. So I'll take the Bills. What are they right now? Is it still minus 7?
He's 6.5. Yeah, 6.5.
Okay. All right, then I'm going to hurry up and take the Bills before it gets to 7. That's all I got for going to the window. We out of here?
All right, I'm done too. Yeah. Happy holidays, and thanks for listening to Bet Slippin' Podcast.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, subscribe, review.
Yeah. Just to piggyback off that, please subscribe, rate, and review to Bet Slippin' Podcast. We're on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and a special happy holidays to you guys. I hope all you guys cash your bets, whether it be the NFL Week 16 slate, NBA Christmas slate, college basketball. There's so much stuff to bet. I'm excited. Hopefully you guys are excited. But to all the listeners who've been listening to this podcast since day one, we really appreciate the download, subscribe. We would love to get some more feedback. So if you want to holler at us on Twitter, that would be great. But just continue to listen, and whatever feedback you can leave us, positive, hopefully, in the reviews would be great. But again, happy holidays and thanks for listening. Good luck. For Esten, Jeff Clark, Bet Slippin' Podcast. Peace out.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.